Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, this is Sausage Michael, aka Angus McFife from Glory Hammer, and you're watching Brutally Delicious.
Hey, this is Mike, aka Zargafrax from Glory Hammer, and you're watching Brutally Delicious.
Awesome.
A 1, 2, 3, 4! The Brutally Delicious Podcast! The Brutally Delicious Podcast! The Brutally Delicious Podcast!
What's up, everybody? It's Dark Masek here with Brutally Delicious. I'm here with members of Glory Hammer.
Guys, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Michael,
how are you doing?
Thank you so much. First day of the tour. How are you feeling?
Oh, good. Pretty fresh.
Yeah.
Ready to just do it.
I mean, yeah. I guess you're not you're not tired yet.
No.
We had like 2 days to relax. We just played Mexico, and then we flew to Queens like 2 days ago. Well, JFK stayed in Queens for 2 days.
Both of our airports are in Queens, well known fact. Five boroughs, and they both went up there. Ooh. So, hey, a year ago, you played here opening for Aelstorm, and now you are headlining. Less than a year, actually. Yeah. How does that feel? Like, you graduated that quickly.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Not even a year, actually.
Feels really
like,
good.
10 months? Or
May 27th?
Yeah, like 9-10 months. It's really good, and we moved to like a much nicer backstage, so that's always good. It feels really good to be back here as well. I really like this venue. It's very nice.
I'm actually very pleasantly surprised when I saw the tour announcement. Just as a fan, I was figuring it was going to be Gramercy, which is like just down the road, but maybe half this capacity.
I think we did that a few years ago.
Sure
That was good as well, wasn't it?
Is this your first time touring the U.S. without Aelstorm?
Second.
Oh.
We did. It's been the same both times. I think we came first time 2018, supporting Aelstorm. And obviously we started the visas, so we were like, let's come back. Yeah. We did our own headliner in 2019. And then went last year with Aelstorm and back again.
You headlined 2019? How the fuck did I not know that?
It was a smaller scale than this, but it was a great tour. It was a really good tour.
Interesting. Okay. So, So you've been in the band for what, 3 years? When was Fly Away? Like 3 years ago? 2 years?
That was 2022.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 2 and a bit.
Okay, so you've got that, and then the new album, and then Mighty Wings. How's the reception been so far?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, even since day one, there's been people that like came to me and expressed appreciation for like stepping up and doing what I do. So it's been positive as far as I could see, like throughout. People are very happy that I'm in the band, and like we keep doing shows and we keep like, you know, evolving and growing. So it's been great.
How do you feel having a new singer?
Oh, it's not new anymore.
No,
it's been absolutely fantastic, you know, just kind of getting on with stuff.
So how long have you been touring with the band, Michael?
Since 2016, I think. Yeah.
Okay. So you're like Zargothrax 2, or is it just...
Yeah, pretty much.
So on that front, like, you've done a couple tours, like, with, you know, supporting Aelstorm with Chris Bowes on the package. Does he play the keyboards on the album, or have you taken over for that?
Most of the keyboards are actually, like, just programmed by Ben, our drummer, on the records. So nothing's really changed in that regard. I played a little bit on the last album, and I think Chris probably played a bit as well. I can't remember. It just depends on who's writing the songs and stuff like this.
So, going back, like, not you guys, but I think it was sometime in the 90s, Axl Rose asked Taylor Hawkins, you know, for drumming the Foo Fighters, what is it like to drum for the best drummer in rock? What was it like playing keyboards for the guy who started the band and then was like, nah, like, I'm not going to drum this anymore?
I don't think he really cares, to be honest. Knowing Chris, he doesn't care about that kind of stuff.
But to you?
Not really. We're quite similar in that respect.
Real nonchalant attitude. So, I guess that's the other thing I was going to go with. Normally, like, I would have said Glory Hammer is one of the more over-the-top bands in terms of the personas and whatnot, That's Twilight Force is downstairs.
Yeah. Pretty tough competition.
I was gonna say, are you on your toes around them? Like,
I think we get along quite well. The two bands toured together before our time. I think maybe they were supporting Glory Hammer on the first ever European tour in 2014.
Yeah.
Something like that. And when we were booking this tour, we were kind of like, I'm in an hour, and I'll be like, who should we ask? And like picking our brains for the kind of most appropriate band. And then we were playing this Wacken cruise last year, and they were also on the cruise. We just got really drunk all night, and it was just like harmless fun. But me and Jim, the bass player, we just sat, and Jim like, we was like, "Can I have a word with you?" He was like, "Maybe we should ask Twilight Force." And I was like, "That's a good idea." So we just went over back to the table. We were like, "Do you guys want to come to America?" And they were like, "Yeah." And then the next day, they were like, "We should probably ask our booking agent." You know, but it was pretty quick. You know, we know the guys, and they're nice.
So you two are separate labels, so that one even surprised me. I mean, very happy as a fan. I love Twilight Force. But
no, it's a good package, I think.
Yeah.
It's like the most over the top power metal package you could possibly get. So
yes.
Top.
Very over the top.
So I know Conti didn't make it over just yet, but like, were you two going to get into like, you know, a weird rivalry?
Oh, no. I've already met Alessandro, and he's very, like, I admire him very much, look up to him. I don't think so, but I hope we can share the stage at some point. I don't know if it's going to be this tour, but I really like him as a vocalist and as a person, so hope we can work together in the future as well.
Nice, that's nice. So, yeah, I think it's their first time here, and, like...
I think they said they did Prog Power and maybe 70K, but, like, first tour.
They did 70K,
first
yeah.
tour, for sure.
And they're definitely on Prog Power this year. But, yeah, first tour for them. You guys just graduated. What is your feeling right now in like the current state of power metal? Because as a fan, like Rhapsody did their first tour in 12 years last year, like, and now suddenly both you, like, again, you guys graduating, Twilight Force finally getting a fucking tour here. Like,
yeah,
how does it feel?
It's good. I mean, the state of the power metal scene is in a really strong place right now, both in Europe and seemingly USA. It's getting stronger and stronger, like by the year. We actually went to the Rhapsody show ourselves.
Yeah,
Salt
they were playing
Salt Lake City.
Down the road from us.
We like literally got off stage, ran six blocks, just in time to catch the end of Windrose, and then watch the whole Rhapsody set.
Was that here? Or
Salt Lake City.
Oh, okay.
Like our tours intersected at Salt Lake City, so they were playing.
We threw our costumes off. And
yeah,
legged it.
Run to the venue.
That's not exaggerating.
Yeah,
that's actually what happened.
Really enjoyed it. I think. Definitely Europe. I'm not sure about the US. I guess it's getting stronger here as well.
It's getting better, I think.
But it's getting increasingly more, if not more well known by people. At least people have heard of power metal. Like they've heard of Powerwolf, they've heard of Sabaton. And if someone is interested in this kind of aesthetic, they can always like dig deeper and find Glory Hammer and like other bands that are like further down in the niche like scale. It's in a good spot, I think.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
And why do you think that is? Because I swear, like, probably getting way too personal here. When I was like 18 years old, if you told people you like power metal, they'd be like, okay, you just regained your virginity, like here's a 20-sided die.
It's kind of the same for me when I was younger, actually. I remember being like a teenager and I was like, I really want to start a power metal band, and no one was interested, like literally no one was interested. But I guess for the UK there was like Dragon Force, they were publishing this like this quaint band, and then there was like some bands from Finland, and that was kind of it. You know, I just was like, right, well, push that idea to one side and join a death metal band instead, because that's the only thing people want to play, you know. But
so what changed?
I think it's become fashionable to be a nerd.
Yeah, I think that's been a big part of it, you know. Like,
that's it.
It's more fashionable.
You've got like Dungeons and Dragon movies, you've got like Warhammer, it's like, you know, on every high street in the world, it's like video games are more popular.
Yeah.
People just bit more open-minded, I think.
Yeah, less ashamed to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe escapism is more prevalent.
Yeah, also the planet's going
to hell.
Yeah. So like people embrace escapism a bit more, I think.
Do you want to?
Maybe to be
it's
frank,
it's like the opposite of grunge.
Yes.
Where we are right now.
Exactly.
The opposite of grunge.
Yes.
Do you want to push on that? Like, why is the planet going to hell, or is that?
We all know. We all know. It's fine. Yeah.
Go on.
No, I'm not going to expand on it.
Sure, fair enough. I guess just a last real thing I want to touch on, actually two. One, like Spotify, when you're playing a niche subgenre of an already underground genre, how does that feel these days? Because like record sales are not a thing anymore. Streaming exists, but yeah, you know where to go with this.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we get enough from Spotify to kind of sustain aspects of the business. Like, you know, it's not making us like a killing, but we can use money from Spotify royalties to pay for, you know, if we want to do a tour, we can afford to buy a tour bus, or rent a tour bus, I should say. It just kind of goes into the band pot and, you know, helps sustain the business.
Yeah.
And occasionally you get like a bit of a kickback, but normally just after you lose a new record, and then it kind of just dwindles back to...
Yeah, it's definitely not enough to make a living just by Spotify.
Not by itself.
You need to play live shows. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a good like supplement
to
us.
I think it was Tom Hunting, the drummer for Exodus, who said, in a nutshell, I'm a traveling t-shirt salesman.
I've used that phrase before. Oh, yeah.
They're very, very accurate.
So you put on, like, you do the whole power metal get-up, you sing fantasy lyrics and play these songs, and what you're trying to do is sell t-shirts.
I mean, it's a bit more than that, but financially, that's what it boils down to, I guess.
Yeah, spiritually, I will say, like, I'm trying to get people to be happy, and a side effect is they buy t-shirts.
Yeah.
Like, but the primary goal is to make people, like, enjoy their night.
I like that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to diminish.
No, of course.
I mean, yeah, but both like, sides are equally
important. Yeah, yeah, like, if you just look at it from cause and effect, it's like, that's what happens.
We get to keep making people happy by selling t-shirts.
Yeah.
By selling t-shirts.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Can do bigger tours by just selling more t-shirts.
Please buy t-shirts.
Okay, yeah. Now I think last legitimate question I've got. Part of what I saw as a fan, again, like, go back to 2005 or so, you go on the internet, you talk about metal, all anybody wants to talk about is like the fucking big four, like Metallica, Megadeth. Mm. Go fast forward 5-ish years and suddenly like people are talking about Blind Guardian. So I'm going, this is like your opinion on social media and how that expands things. Like, obviously Chris Bowes is a fairly big player on the power metal subreddit. Like, he's very public about what his username is. And, how do you guys feel about that? Do you think it had anything to do with, you know, the continued success of the genre or the growth?
I mean, we're all pretty active as well, to be honest. I think the kind of time of being some like mysterious entity behind a veil is, you know, I mean, yeah, maybe some bands can still get work doing that. It's quite difficult. And I think a lot of the time it's better just to kind of see social media as like another outlet, the same way you'd see like music videos or, you know, even releases, you know. It's just another way to engage with the fans. And if you can monopolize on that, then why not?
Yeah. I agree.
All right, well, thank you guys so much.
Hey,
thank you.
Can I get so bumpers for you two? Like, so does Michael, right?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yes, we're out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!